Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It is 7:06 and our winter storm nightmare is over. Thank God. I think that we have survived. You can get back to your car now if you abandoned it. Everything's going to be fine. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to play some audio you need to hear. Kamala Harris explains to a group of astronauts how rockets get off the ground. And it's better than you imagine.
Oh, it's good.
At 7:35, we're going to hear from Sean Fleetwood at The Federalist writing about how Cheverly, Maryland wants your 16-year-olds to vote. I mean, I got an idea. Clean up your room first. Then maybe you can vote. That's all coming up. Julie Gunlock is giggling away. You're in a very good mood today.
I am.
I'm glad to hear that.
Because it snowed. Yeah, woohoo!
Whatever. Joining us right now, we've been looking forward to this conversation really since yesterday. Virginia Delegate Dave LaRocque, who is sponsoring Sage's Law. We spent a lot of time on this yesterday. You heard Sage's grandma's testimony, which is absolutely riveting. And Delegate LaRocque, I mean, I've just basically been sort of thumbnailing this bill in this way. I said, basically, this prohibits the government-run school system and the educators and teachers and administrators at those schools to keep secrets from parents. Now, that on itself should be a no-brainer, but then when you find out that these secrets are of the most intimate, personal kind and health-related kind, I don't understand why anyone opposes this, Delegate LaRocque. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on, Larry and Julie, and I really, really appreciate you helping the public become aware of what's going on in Richmond, especially as it relates to Sage's Law. That's a huge part of it.
We played the audio yesterday, as I mentioned, of this testimony. We don't have time for it right now, but suffice to say that the school keeping Sage's secret from her parents ended up a domino effect, a cascading effect that ended up with Sage, with the parents not knowing about what was going on in her life. She was assaulted in the boys' room, but of course the school couldn't tell the parents about that because then you'd have to explain why the girl was in the boys' room. So they kept that bullying and that physical assault that happened at the school a secret. Then Sage runs away. She's sex trafficked. She's brutally sexually assaulted. It's a nightmare for any parent. And this grandmother who has custody of Sage said, if they had told me, I would have been able to parent my child. And that really is the crux of it, Delegate LaRocque, isn't it?
It really is. It's what I think almost every parent would say in the same situation. Why didn't you tell me? And not only did the school hide it from her, they encouraged Sage to hide it from her parents. Not to jump away, but this takes me back to what was front and center in the governor's race when Terry McAuliffe said, I don't think parents should be telling schools what to do.
Yeah.
That reflected a mindset that schools know best and they don't want to be interrupted or parents to be part of the process when that is absolutely 180 degrees backwards. Parents are the best support network for a child in a difficult situation, whether it's bullying, depression, or in this case, gender dysphoria. And so to block them out is very possibly going to lead to the kind of horrendous complications that Sage experienced. And I really don't think any of us want that, but how to avoid it is what this bill proposes. And I'm certainly hoping it will become law and be viewed based on the policy, not the politics.
A delegate, we've heard that there is obviously we don't expect any support for this bill on the Democrat side, but we're also hearing there might be some resistance from some Republicans, including Delegate Carrie Coyner. Can you tell me what is the objection? And it's confusing to me to see that there might be an objection from a Republican. Republicans seem to really understand how critical this is. This is a parents' rights bill. This has been a very popular issue in Virginia. It's frankly changed elections. So are you hearing what the argument is for those who might oppose this bill?
Well, obviously, I can't speak for any of the delegates on either side, but I think the issue is clear. You're either going to listen to some extreme activists who are saying that if we pass this, that children will be harmed by their parents. And, you know, I'll acknowledge that argument, and there may be a few instances where parents react in a way that is not, you know, does not respect the child, and perhaps even leads to some things that it shouldn't. But that's a very, very small percentage of parents. I think parents overall love their kids. Some may be surprised, but they're going to react very positively. So to say that we should go to the fringes and prevent all parents from being involved in a very delicate situation is just wrong. You know, whenever you take these arguments to the extreme fringes and say this is what the law should do because this might happen hypothetically, it doesn't make good policy at all.
It's also duplicative. It's already illegal to abuse your child, and that abuse can be reported.
Yeah,
so there's no need
in place for something like that. Yes. If there's suspicions of abuse at home, and I guess Delegate LaRocque, if I could, because I do expect Democrats to vote for this as well, because I expect them to have some basic understanding of humanity and parenting here. That shouldn't be a party line issue. And I would just ask anyone who opposes this, and I'll ask you, Delegate LaRocque, because maybe you can clear it up. Is there anything in the Virginia Education Code right now where if a student is afraid that a teacher reporting to their parents that they got bad grades, that they were truant without an excuse for a week, and that they were misbehaving at school and bullying other students, if a student said, oh, please don't tell my parents about my behavior problems or my truancy or my bad grades, don't give them my report card because they'll punish me, would a Virginia school support that? Would a Virginia school keep those secrets from a parent? And if they won't keep those secrets from a parent, why would we keep these secrets from a parent of such an intimate sexual nature?
Well, here's a sort of a different situation, very closely related, though. In a hearing earlier this session, maybe 2 weeks ago by now, there were a series of people that were testifying on a bill that passed out unanimously, and it said that in the case of bullying, parents should be notified within 24 hours. And there were two parents that came to the mic and could barely compose themselves because they were saying the bullying wasn't reported to us in a timely manner, and our child is not with us anymore. Mm. That's how serious this is. And so why there'd be unanimous support to involve parents, as they should be involved, in one case and not another, just kind of defies reasoning.
So, and again, I just need them to explain it to me like I'm in kindergarten. If the bullying is somehow related to the student's pronouns or gender identity, then we won't notify the parents? I mean, some bullying gets notified and some doesn't?
Yeah, that's kind of a convoluted situation you're describing, but it is almost consistent with what they'd be proposing, isn't it?
That's exactly. You have to twist yourself in knots to understand the logic. The vote is coming up. It's imminent within a couple of hours. How's this going to go down out of the Education Committee, Delegate LaRocque?
Well, I'm just going to hope for the best, Larry. Again, the public awareness that you and many, many other entities in the media have put forward is just, it's huge. So I think that will help us, perhaps help some Democrats get on board, but we'll have to see about that. But I'm optimistic. You know, there's a lot of people praying for this because that's, at the end of the day, that's how some of these things are decided. So we're hoping that we'll win in the end.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're being very courteous to any of your colleagues there who might be on the fence on this. And if they end up not voting for it, hopefully we'll have you back and you can be less courteous to them.
Well, I offered Delegate Guzman to co-patron the bill yesterday.
Thought
parents should be put in jail if
that's
they,
right.
Don't affirm.
How'd that conversation go, and why didn't you live stream it?
she said she would patron the bill, and but then she asked me, well, what does it do? And I was absolutely dumbfounded to think that she didn't had not heard about Sage's Law. But
that doesn't surprise us.
There you go.
It'll Delegate
Guzman.
Okay.
Enjoy yourself in Richmond with your colleagues. Thanks, Virginia Delegate Dave LaRocque.
Thank you, Larry and Julie. Yep, bye-bye.
7:15.
Join Vince Colonnais February 7th for the all-new Steak of the Union at Bourbon Boulevard in Chantilly. Details at WMAL.com/steak.
All right. You got two choices here, Julie Gunlock. A, Kamala Harris is as dumb as a box of rocks, or B, her speechwriters loathe her.
Why not both?
I could be both. You're right. You're all. I love that you're a both and person instead of an either or person. Yes. We've got a lot to catch up on here. On Monday, we meant to share this yesterday. We had other stories that sort of took precedent, believe it or not. So let's revisit a couple of stupid things Kamala Harris has said. Here she was in Monday talking about a small business initiative.
Let's talk about how you get a line of credit. Who of us grew up with our parents talking about a phrase line of credit? Right? These are things you learn if someone takes the time to teach you because they know.
Every time I get these videos sent to me, it's like, oh, you got to do this one on the show tomorrow. And my response is always the same thing. Was this an audience of children?
Yes. Exactly.
Was this an audience of 8-year-olds? And it never is.
That they rented.
Right. The only audience of children she's ever actually done this with are the ones they had to hire.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So she's talking about small businesses.
We are doing the work that is about collaborating around the small businesses that will need to do the work that will be the result of all the trillions of dollars we're putting into the infrastructure of our country.
Follow that?
No.
Neither did she. Now, to be fair, this is just her being the choice A, dumb as a box of rocks, because this is all extemporaneous. She's not speaking from a script. Well,
and on that, just really quick, you speak extemporaneously.
This is the job description.
And I do as well. But there have been times where I get sort of stumbly.
Yeah,
right?
You talk yourself into a corner
sometimes.
You
hear yourself and you're like, I got to find a conclusion
to
this sentence.
Where's the escape hatch on this one?
Escape happens to all of us. It's every single time with her. I am just white knuckling it, waiting for her to get to the end.
Well, here's a good one again from Monday.
And by the way, when we talk about our small businesses, it not only is it intergenerational, but also we've got entrepreneurs in their teens and 20s to families who have been doing this for generations and our seniors. And so it's really, that's also what's also exciting about our small businesses and who they are, because it spans the generations in addition to being intergenerational.
Siri, define intergenerational. It's something that spans multiple generations. So the small business initiative is so exciting because it spans the generations in addition to being intergenerational.
Dying.
You know, Julie Gunlock today is wearing a flannel shirt in addition to wearing a shirt that is flannel. All right,
she's
so that brings
such
us
a gift.
That brings us to yesterday, giving away the Presidential Medal of Freedom to astronauts. And again, same thing happened. I see the speech. I think, is she talking to 10-year-olds?
Which would be understandable. Listen to this.
And this is where we get option B. Her speech writers hate her. Her speech haters. Because this is scripted. This is written. Here she is. I just want to point this out. Not only is she speaking to adults, she's speaking to astronauts.
Yes. This is, and honestly, I did not know that when I first listened. Because I honestly did think she was speaking to a school group.
No. She's speaking to professionals from that. She's speaking to rocket scientists. And here's what she says about space travel.
Which brings me to May 30th, 2020. Bob and Doug returned to the Kennedy Space Center. They suited up. They waved to their families. And they rode an elevator up nearly 20 stories. They strapped in to their seats and waited as the tanks beneath them filled with tens of thousands of gallons of fuel. And then they launched. Yeah, they did.
Oh my God.
We are so.
She's starting to do that Biden whisper thing.
The wishy whisper. They launched.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamin's podcast wherever you listen.
We are so screwed as a country. This, I mean, because honestly, I mean, Biden is like a complete and total disaster. He's plagued by a scandal as the walls are closing in on his presidency.
And he's cognitively compromised.
He doesn't
clearly
know where he is at any given time.
Jill's in charge.
And what's
but she's
plan
a doctor.
B? Plan B is this? This is plan B? Let's not forget, she loves talking about space last year.
Space is exciting. It spurs our imaginations. And it forces us to ask big questions. Space, it affects us all. And it connects us all.
Yeah, you're right. It's both and. She's dumb as a box of rocks and her speechwriters hate her.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. That's one fragile little heartbeat away from the presidency.
Everything's fine, people. Everything's fine.
Now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Hey there. It's 7:36 on O'Connor and Company this Wednesday morning in the nation's capital. What have we got in store for you coming up? At 8:05, we're going to check in with James Rosen, our pal, chief White House correspondent over at Newsmax, find out what's going on with President Biden and his negotiations with Kevin McCarthy on the debt limit. That's coming up. And, of course, our pal Julie Gunlock is here, came with us company all morning. Julie, thanks
good morning
for being here. Big day down in Richmond, by the way. We've been talking about Sage's Law quite a bit. Please, if you have any concerns about your delegate, your representative, please let them know. Let them know that you expect them to vote yes on Sage's Law out of committee and on the floor. Joining us right now, Sean Fleetwood over at The Federalist. The latest write up here is that Cheverly, Maryland is now making minors, 16-year-olds, voters in that town. And this is a trend, Sean. I mean, this is not a one-off. We see a lot of cities in Maryland in particular moving in this direction. What's behind it?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's really great to be here. I've been listening to you on WMAL for a couple of years, so this is pretty cool for me. But what's behind it is that the left is really – it's really just a power grab by the left. I mean, we saw this throughout the 2022 elections. Left-wing nonprofits like Civic Nation, which are headed up by former Obama administration official Valerie Jarrett, were pushing initiatives like the All-In Campus Democracy Challenge to get – college campuses to orchestrate, you know, get out the vote operations for left-wing students. So, I mean, this just falls in that same category. They know that a lot of these kids are going to pull the electoral lever, so to speak, for them at the ballot box. Again, with the 2022 elections, we saw that young voters, Gen Z, broke for Democrat House candidates by a 2-to-1 margin.
Right.
So really, ultimately, what this is just a push by Democrats to get more of their voters at the ballot box.
I hear that, and I know that, you know, and it's so funny. It's like, oh, we got to make sure the stakeholders involved. They're not paying rent, let alone taxes. They're not stakeholders. But forgive me for being even more cynical about this. You're right. The young voters that did vote broke for the Democrats in a big way. It's also the lowest turnout of all of the age groups, right? Which, in my mind, means you open it up to 16-year-olds, to 18-year-olds, and they're not going to show up to vote. A small percentage will show up to vote. What it means is there's a whole lot of non-voters that they can jerk around with those ballots. They weren't turned in. I mean, I'm sorry. I've reached the point where I'm that cynical.
Yeah.
Where a week after the election, they're going, oh, well, here's some more ballots that didn't get turned in. So let's go ahead and make sure that they get counted in the mail-ins. I think everything they do is geared in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can take off the table with the left. I mean, they'll try anything. One of my favorite arguments that some of the proponents were making at this town hall event was, this was from a young lady who was about 17 years old saying, well, you trust us to be lifeguards and to sign our name on a dotted line to take out college student loans, so we should have the ability to vote. And a couple of speakers later, a guy gets up and basically refutes that by saying, yeah, but you require parent signature to do both of those things. Your point's kind of moot there. But yeah, I would not put it past them that the mail-in ballot aspect of this is something that they're going for. Like you mentioned, there are several Maryland towns doing this. Boston, the city of Massachusetts, a couple weeks ago just voted to legalize this, so that has to go to the mayor.
I think Tacoma Park right here has had it for years now, Julie.
Yeah.
Correct, yes. And then several California cities as well.
Well, it just happens to be that I have a son turning 16 today. So happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, dude. Yes. We don't want you voting.
Yeah, exactly. No, I, as a now mother of a 16-year-old, this is like a horror story to think about. Sorry to my lovely 16-year-old son. But this goes to, if this is passed, this will go to the state legislature for a vote. Do you expect any great support there, or do you think that's where it'll end?
I expect support from it. I mean, just knowing Maryland's political demographics. And Cheverly, Maryland, it's worth pointing out for context, within the past 2 years, they passed a resolution amending their town charter, allowing non-U.S. citizens to vote in their local elections. So, I mean, this is really just the next step for them towards a more left-wing agenda. The city council gave indication, you know, it's unclear right now whether it's going to go to the council for a vote or put to a referendum vote for the town. But the council and the mayor showed were very favorable to allowing 16-year-olds to vote.
So, and again, the argument always comes back to that if you oppose this, it means you're for voter suppression. It's like, no, I'm for 16-year-olds cleaning their room and getting their homework done and working on their AP tests, not for voting. But, Sean, you sound a little younger than me, not Julie, certainly.
No, certainly not.
Because you're ageless.
We're just...
What is a good,
because
we conservatives, we do not want to sound like we're, you know, a grumpy old Clint Eastwood telling these kids to get off our lawn at the end of a, well, I sometimes do want to sound like that. But what's a good way to argue against this without insulting young people? Because I do want to encourage young people to be involved and to get educated, because I think as soon as you do get educated, you end up voting conservative. So how do we fight back against this without being insulting and dismissive of young people who are politically active?
Right, it's a great question. I think it's incumbent upon, you know, people my age and kind of around our age to kind of speak to this. I'll tell you, the first to tell you right now, I don't think 16-year-olds should be able to vote. I look back on when I was 16, I'm a completely different person than I was back then. I'm much more knowledgeable and well-rounded and mature than I was back then. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us to just kind of talk about our own life experiences and the people who we used to be compared to who we are now, and allowing, you know, kids to have that growth. But I think the left, you know, whether it's voting, and now we see it with the transgender issue, they want to lower the threshold for what constitutes as an adult. And as we're seeing, allowing these kids to make these massive decisions at a young age, it just doesn't end well, because we're not that mature. We don't have that life experience.
The only thing I propose is, if we're going to let them vote, we should take them off their children's health care until they're, what, 27?
I mean,
if they're mature enough to vote, they should be mature enough to take care of their own health care bills.
And make dinner for themselves.
Right, exactly.
Sean, real fast, you're writing at The Federalist, you're a right-of-center guy, and you're 23. What was the biggest influence on you growing up and becoming a conservative?
So I kind of... Starting getting in politics in high school around the 2016 election, it's kind of when I started paying attention. But my freshman year of college is when I really started listening to Mark Levin on a regular basis.
There you go.
Yeah.
My grandfather actually introduced me to him back when I was about 13. And of course, I had no idea of what politics were or anything like that. But I remembered him after all those years, and I started listening to him on a regular basis. And if you've listened to Levin, you know it's like a Constitution 101 class.
Yeah.
I learned so much about the Constitution, politics, history that they won't teach in schools, you know, how the legal system works. I feel like I have so much more knowledge about how the SCOTUS decisions and legal cases.
Well,
and stuff. So
listen,
that's kind of my background.
We are Mark and Julie's morning show. And so I bet they're listening, and that put a huge smile on their face. So that's great to hear. So there you go, Mom and Dad. You want your kids to be conservative? Make them listen to the great one. I mean, let them listen to the great
yes.
one. All right, Sean, thanks for writing this, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's great to be here.
What could that music mean? Oh, we've got more crazy things Kamala says to astronauts. Oh, no, no. It's critter news. Critter news. Although we could do more of that, I assure you. No, we got some critter news here. Here's an odd one. Something's weird happening at the Dallas Zoo. All right. They had a leopard on the loose a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Right. That right there is not your normal activity.
Of course.
Right. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever been to Texas. Those ladies love their leopard print.
Oh, indeed.
I mean, that leopard's on the loose, and it's going to be a coat, too.
Look,
sweet.
I like a good leopard print.
Sure.
I really do.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a thing.
It's a neutral. All right, sorry. We won't go down
Meanwhile,
that.
Meanwhile, now Dallas police is looking for a person in connection with a missing Emperor Tamarin monkey. A couple of monkeys, two of them have been. These are the ones that.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Like, sort of have the Fu Manchu, like, yes, white little mustache and beards, the
so
tamarin
cute
monkeys. But how do you steal two monkeys from the zoo?
With a banana.
And a big bag.
It's easy. Jeez,
I mean, I guess a monkey could just escape on their own, right? I just climb the trees and get out of there. I mean, it's just
do they know that he's been stolen and is being held somewhere, or did they think he just escaped?
They don't know. They just know that the monkeys are missing. They did a head count, and the monkeys are missing. Now maybe the leopard got hungry.
You know, the leopard was, they better watch their flamingos.
Oh yeah,
remember?
Right, sure. The foxes.
Where did they blame that? Oh, the fox.
The fox. Fox. Although they killed a fox that they didn't. They couldn't confirm. Yeah. There was nothing like a pink feather hanging out of its mouth or anything.
Babies.
Yeah. But this is very odd. So police are investigating. Hold on, this rose to the level of CNN's Jake Tapper show yesterday, which, by the way, tells me critter news has become a trend.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to do critter news. So, and in fact, there's more to it. This is all happening at the Dallas Zoo. Police investigating the suspicious leopard escape, the death of a vulture, and now what they believe to be a theft of these monkeys.
Oh.
Who wants to steal a monkey? And how do you steal a monkey?
Look,
other
do
than
you not
with
watch
a banana,
movies?
Like you said.
Like, there's these things go for a lot of money. People like to collect these things.
I didn't say why wouldn't you steal a monkey. Oh. I know why you would steal a monkey. I mean, free monkey.
I love how this... Keep going. Sorry.
I just don't know how you actually execute that plan.
I think it's weird that the zoo tweeted that the leopard was unaccounted for. I mean, what an
unaccounted
for? That's kind of serious.
I know. And it's just some social media person. Oh, hey, by the way, guys.
It's not like a teenager that goes to the zoo and the teacher's like, someone's unaccounted for. This could kill you.
Meanwhile, our good friend Kevin McMahon, who does the video feed for Town Hall, he creates all the videos at Town Hall. He's brilliant, an absolute genius. I love Kevin. And he watches all the cable news shows, you know, to find great material for these videos. And there was a moment on Tucker Carlson the other night. He's been covering, you know, the chickens. We're all talking about chickens all of a sudden, right? His angle, though, is that the chickens are not laying as many eggs as they used to lay. And he thinks it has something to do with the feed and what's going on
there. It's Bill Gates.
It's Bill Gates and the Chi-Coms. So he had this chicken farmer who was holding a chicken. This is a little bit of a visual, but you can hear what happens here. Tucker, you know, welcomes him on the show, and then he sees that he's holding a chicken. Now, the chicken is looking off camera.
Yeah.
All right, just sort of doing what a chicken does, right?
Right.
And Tucker says, and welcome to your chicken friend you've got there. And the second Tucker says that, the chicken immediately turns and looks at the camera and then gives a little... So that's exactly, you'll hear it in a minute. I think Tucker Carlson talks to chickens.
Well, his popularity has certainly reached the animal kingdom.
His audience is huge, but I didn't know it includes poultry.
Who knew?
Now listen to this moment.
Connor Blackman is the urban chicken farmer. He says he personally has experienced issues with his chicken feed. He joins us tonight to try to untangle this mystery. Connor, thanks so much for coming on, and welcome as well to your avian friend. What do you think is going on here, and what's your experience been?
Hey, Tucker.
So you thought I was kidding.
I was watching the video at the same time.
Did you see it? Did you see him look?
Yes.
That chicken heard.
That's right.
That chicken was listening. That chicken is sentient. That chicken understands English. That chicken is a Fox News fan.
You're going to join PETA soon, so just take it down a notch, Larry.
Well,
what do you think is going on here, and what's your experience been?
You know, that was either the chicken talking to Tucker or Eric Swalwell was just off camera. It's 7:53. It is 7:55 now. No. Hey, we've got an update on that story, Julie. They have found the two monkeys in Dallas. They have found the two monkeys in an abandoned home.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we have avoided a Harambe situation, and that is a good thing. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, what's going on with Twitter right now? You can get more people to see your tweets if you make your account private. That's...
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.